We got new boots, and I'm so thrilled. They're Tecovas boots. And you know why I'm so excited about getting Tecovas boots and why I was so happy to get mine in the mail? Because the girlies from Potomac went to the Tecovas store in the most recent season of Real Housewives of Potomac, and I was like, if Robin and Karen have Tecovas, I want Tecovas.
Well, I have a good reason, too, because I've been doing a bunch of line dancing, and I didn't have any cowboy boots, and so I got my Tecovas, and let me tell you, the difference it makes to be dancing in cowboy boots... Huge.
On the line dancing floor. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. So you can really smack the floor and swing around. You need cowboy boots.
Yeah, I didn't get cowboy boots. I got Chelsea boots, but they're great. They're brown.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see them.
They're just, I like taking them on and off. They're so lovely. They're kind of a beautiful leather. They're beautiful leather.
Well, they're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage bootmaking. They've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality you find in a great pair of cowboy boots, but they've innovated on comfort, style, and service. It's true because cowboy boots can be a little bit hard to break in.
Yep.
You know? Yep. Mine, I was swinging around, no pain.
No pain. And Tecovas is Western to their core. They offer a bunch of other head-to-toe Western staples like trucker jackets, the perfect jeans, performance pearl snaps, cowboy hats, bandanas, you name it. They'll get you outfitted. They believe in Western for all. And you can feel that when you go into their stores. When you walk in, you'll be greeted like family. I saw them do it to the girlies from the Real House of Potomac. It seemed like they were being greeted like family. You'll be offered a boot shine and a drink. Yes, even the hard stuff if you prefer. And you can get custom fitted for a new pair of boots. But if you can't make it into a store, Tecovas delivers the most premium quality and the most comfortable Western goods right to your door. Visit Tecovas.com, that's Tecovas.com, and point your toes west.
You will drain it. Yeah, yeah, Neo. Yeah, they want to know. Hey. Neo.
Hey. Yeah, yeah. Neo. To be famous. Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is breaking news from Us Weekly and ET and People.
And Pop Bass and Pop Crave and Just Crave. Jared.
And CinemaCon and WhiteHouse.gov. Everyone is talking about this.
And the WHO. They all reported it yesterday, though. And now...
Last night,
I think somebody did some due diligence and reported it out, meaning the Us Weeklies weren't going to report it until it was actually like confirmed by someone.
People sources. There are two sources on People and one source on Entertainment Tonight, and they're all saying that Glenn Powell and Gigi Paris have broken up after 3 years of dating. They're broken up.
Which would normally be a blip, but in the light... In light of certain circumstances becomes important to the movie industry at large, the film industry at large, because they're going to save it.
That's what it feels like. It feels like
they're
all of
saving
the
it.
Distributors or theater owners at CinemaCon this week have like spent a lot of their own money to make sure that we care about Glenn Powell and Gigi Paris breaking up because of a rumored affair between Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney, the two stars of an upcoming untitled R-rated Sony Pictures rom-com. All we know is that it's hard R because they say in the interviews.
It's a hard R, which like I'm not even sure we're supposed to be saying. I'm not even sure. He said it. Everybody was like, "You sure?" And then it was like, "I guess you could say." You know, it has been said like that, but everyone's kind of like, "I'm not sure that's the right terminology for this." There's at least two things that could come before what he actually means, which is an R rating in a movie theater.
I don't know about you, but I feel like this is like not only do we go for the hard R, which is really really fun, but it's also like, when was the last time you saw like a hard R rom-com that's big and it's cinematic? Everybody's in swimsuits, looking good.
And anyways, shout out to like the four people who listen to this podcast who even remember that he was dating a woman named Gigi Paris. I always did because I thought it was like one of the funniest names I've ever heard in my goddamn life. It's like the funny, it really is like witness protection ass name, you know? I'm Gigi. Gigi looks at poster that says Paris. Gigi Paris. Paris.
Looks at DVD of Midnight in Paris. Yeah.
Paris. Gigi.
Oh, Paris. My God.
There's been a lot of conversations about, like, is Glenn Powell hot? Like, what? It's weird that a dating rumor with a much more famous girly has, like, shot him into the stratosphere of celebrity tabloid conversation when... Before, I would say that people liked him, but he has always been like somebody that movie studios have been trying to make happen for a while. And I do think that the general moviegoer, movie people who care about movies have come to the conclusion that he's good, that he's worthy, that mm-hmm. he's put out some good performances, that we loved him and everybody wants some exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But it is funny to see him on the bigger world stage.
Yeah. Getting coverage like this.
Getting coverage like this.
A source tells ET that the pair, who started dating in 2019, broke up in early April and that the split was amicable. Quote, Glenn Powell and his now ex-girlfriend Gigi Paris broke up in early April. The breakup was amicable, the source says, adding that Powell is, quote, single. Interesting. The update on the former couple comes after Paris unfollowed the Top Gun Maverick star on Instagram. Eagle-eyed fans noticed the unfollow, which came just before a new reel from Paris Wednesday that fueled split speculation. But meanwhile, Powell still follows Paris.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe he's not as petty as she is, but also maybe she's like, we've been broken up for a while now, and now the whole world is speculating that I'm being cheated on. I'd rather just like, I'd rather say that we've been broken up, so let's just like come out with it.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing is like, in terms of like whether or not there's anything going on, it wouldn't be the first, it wouldn't be the last, but you'd think that Sydney Sweeney would come out with something defensive about her relationship since she's engaged. But then part of me is like, there's also a chance that like this is great for the movie and just we'll just stay silent until whatever. Like if the fiance of hers like doesn't really care, maybe he's like, yeah, whatever. Like I know we're still together, so we'll just like sell your movie. Then again, the movie just stopped filming. It comes out in like 3 years or some bullshit.
We do have a comment from, if not a source, someone, if not straight from her, sources close to her, spoke to TMZ and were like, she's still with her fiance. She's still with Jonathan DeVito. Do not believe the Glenn Powell rumors. Meanwhile, they're like giving each other like under the clothes hand jobs when they're getting like,
they're not. They are
interviewed on the red carpet of CinemaCon. You know, like they're being flirtier than possible. You know, like
I haven't seen anything outside the realm of what I've seen before. I mean, Oscar Isaac sniffed Jessica Chastain's armpit on the red carpet. They are both married and stayed married after that. Like, are they both freaks? Yes. Did that sell their show? I'm not sure. Actually, it was a good show. Just want to say it was a good show.
You're like the only person I know who watched that, but everyone I know was talking about the armpit sniffing.
But I'm just saying, like, it's not – you have to understand these are actors, and you have to understand, like, that I just don't – we've seen this and we've seen worse.
Lindsay,
and by worse, I mean just like more under the clothes hand jobs, you know, on the red carpet.
Were you the second insider who spoke to people? Because that person said they're filming a movie that's a romantic comedy. Yeah. It's like what people say about movie stars. Oh, they have such good chemistry. It's just their job. They're friends on set. They're co-stars.
Who wrote that? Jesus Christ.
The second insider.
That's me. Yeah.
The first insider was really mean. And they were like, they break up all the time in terms of Glenn and Gigi. They were like, they break up all the time. They've broken up many times before, but this time it's broken up for good.
When is this movie out? Because this is a long ruse to have to like extend. They just finished filming. This is the other problem with paparazzi photos from sets leaking and shit like that. This is like very bad for marketing of movies. It comes out too early and then everybody kind of forgets. You want it to come out right before. You don't want these to be out when they're actually filming them live. You know?
Do we even know when this is supposed to come out? I don't think we do.
I mean, if they were just, if the photos from them film, they just wrapped filming, right? It's got to be like a year from now, right? Maybe a little bit less.
It's called like Untitled Sony Comedy or something like
that. No, it's called Anyone But You.
Oh, it has a name now. Anyone But You.
Yeah. Maybe they'll fast track it. Maybe they'll make it fat. And they already gave it an R rating, so that means that somebody's must be doing something over there.
It's a hard R. It's a hard R. It was filmed in Australia. That's fun. Whatever. This movie is going to kill us.
I know, but I just can't. I don't know why we're waiting this. Like, this is just the timing. We need them to speed
Glenn
it up.
Glenn Powell and Gigi Paris have called it quits after 3 years together. A source tells Access Hollywood. The 30-year-old model took to her Instagram on Wednesday to share a video of herself playfully walking down a city street with the caption, "Know your worth and on to the next." The pair's breakup news comes just a few days after rumors swirled of Glenn being romantically involved with his upcoming rom-com co-star, Sydney Sweeney.
You are listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. Before we get started, I want to read one more tweet from Guy on Twitter. Ask anyone on the street how they feel about Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney, and they will tell you the same thing. Who is Glenn Powell?
I mean, that just speaks to the power of euphoria that Sydney Sweeney is, you know, is the star.
She's number one.
And Glenn Powell, who's arguably been in bigger movies than Euphoria as a show, is not part of the conversation of knowing who he is.
Yeah,
you know?
I love it.
Wild. Yeah.
Here's a call.
Okay, you guys never play my calls, but I have been your Gen Z correspondent for longer than we've had a Gen Z correspondent. I was 18 at your 2018 show in D.C. So with that being said, you didn't invent a TikTok channel. That's already been a TikTok channel. You guys would have known that. You need to hire a social media intern. Please let it be me.
I did know this because I did see this and it was in the back of my head because this is one of the most ridiculous.
Did we talk about this on the Patreon? We talked about this somewhere, maybe just personally.
When a national publication calls me a Nepo baby, but I actually quit acting 8 years ago and now I'm the president of a corporation I built from the ground up, babe, you're still a Nepo baby. Like, I don't understand. Just because you changed.
Babe, you were in Monarch 6 months ago.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
You played the younger version of your mother in a Fox show in 2023.
And then she, like, got railed. She got, like, railed for it. She got, like, criticized for it. And then she posted, when literally five people out of thousands realize your post is a tongue-in-cheek joke at your own expense. I actually thought it was funny and smart and layered using terms like from the ground up, which is classic. But I guess I'll stick to simple context. Thanks for the reminder. Babe, what do you think your audience is like? What are you talking? And, like, she meant that so earnestly. Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. This is my least favorite behavior. It's like, I was joking. Sorry, you can't take a joke because I was joking. It's like, what? You were not joking.
She wasn't joking at all. She wasn't joking at all.
Cool.
Did I tell you, did we talk about her, whatever, we don't have to talk about Eva Marie Martino's.
Well, we do because play the next call. There's one more call.
Let's play the next one. I was just going to talk about another thing that's not called about. It's like, I don't need to go off script. We can just talk about the calls that came in.
Yeah, let's not go off script about Eva Marie Martino, please. Thank you.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby, Timmy. Had to pause the pod because I heard you talking about the YouTubers, Country Tribes, whatever, announcing their divorce and pregnancy. Didn't Eva Amory Martino do the same thing a few years ago? Right? Anyways, this year's love in Italy.
She is literally writing the playbook. She's writing the playbook.
As I think, I'm not sure if you or Timmy wrote this. Technically, it wasn't the same thing because they announced both things a month apart. But
we were shocked by the closeness of the. It still counts.
Mm-hmm. But there was a kind of like Jimmy Allen's single post announcement. There was like an elegance to it. There was a nice, like, it was so concise. You know, everything was in one little post. Eva spread it out because she's a content creator, so she has to get more clicks.
She needed more bumps. She needed to be first divorced, then pregnant. You know, and had to have them be separate.
It was like doing a slideshow, you know, more clicks, slideshow.
She knows how content works. Not just one slide. She's a content creator. And she built her business from the ground up.
Cool.
Lucas Gage and Chris Appleton wed in front of Kim Kardashian, : sources from Page Six. Okay, I'm at first like, I bet this is still fake. Like, they just did a little ceremony in Vegas, but they're not really. But. Records show that they applied for a marriage license in Clark County, Nevada. I don't know. That sounds like some paperwork is happening. That could be real. Crunch, crunch.
Getting married is the easiest thing in the world. You sign a piece of paper. I'm sorry. This is not.
I know, and you're married. You're married, and you're disgracing the tradition. What are you, desecrating marriage or whatever?
I'm not saying the marriage isn't real. I'm saying there's an ulterior motive.
Nothing easier than getting an annulment. I just, you always think that it's like the couples are real. So what about this couple screams not real to you as someone who always believes that the couples are real?
No one has wanted attention more since we started this podcast. No Who Liberty that we've covered on this podcast has wanted attention more than Lucas Gage. That's my argument.
And it's been now... such a fast
3 years
upping the ante of Lucas Gage. Right.
A director made fun of his apartment, which I don't really think he was making fun of his apartment. A director showed empathy
for
the way that he was living during the pandemic, and he went viral. And we can't stop him.
About Lucas Gage's apartment over Zoom. Then he crashed Paris Hilton's wedding. Then he ate ass on White Lotus.
He got his ass
eaten,
I think.
Okay, whatever. Then he did this. Then he did that. Then he started dating Chris Appleton. Now they're married. Yeah, I agree that it is a little bit. This person had never heard of him in my goddamn life, and now he's everywhere. And there is something a little bit like uneasy about that fact itself that creates like suspicion around his behaviors, including getting married in front of Kim Kardashian. It'd be one thing if he like
by Kim Kardashian,
right? It's the most like public facing type of last minute event you could like. The way that you get publicity in terms of relationships is you date somebody famous, you marry them in front of Kim Kardashian, by Kim Kardashian. It's funny that they say in front of. It's like she was there. It's weird they didn't say by versus in front of. Like she was one of six guests.
She officiated.
Right.
It's so weird.
It's not weird because she's close with Chris Appleton. I mean, that's a person who touches her head every single day. Like, they're obviously close. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't doubt that Kim and Chris are close friends. That I fully believe. And I don't doubt that Chris and Lucas probably like each other. You know, like, I'm sure they're having a good time. I just think that they're doing this for reasons that have not yet been revealed. And what you were saying about the way all of this was done in a way that is so... I don't know.
Public.
But it's just like all of these things are so. What is the word I'm looking for? God, come me just being thirsty. All of these things were done in a thirsty way. You got married. Kim Kardashian officiated. Shania Twain was there. You did it on her private jet. You did it in Vegas. You know, like all of these things were designed
part of me,
to
like,
get attention.
Playing the devil's advocate is like they were going to Vegas to see Usher. And then you get married, like that's, and like Kim, it was there because she was like on the trip with them or whatever. But also Kim feels very much too busy, too many kids to just come along to a random Vegas trip without a specific reason. Kim's not just like coming to see Usher. Kim doesn't need to like, you know, go see Usher like randomly. In a way it feels intentional, although because Vegas weddings are so like, we're in Vegas, we might as well get married. Like that'd be so funny and fun. Like it feels... I think it wants you to feel like it's loose. I might argue like they were just there and last minute they got married or whatever, but it's also like it seems really planned as well.
And also, I mean, it's worth pointing out Kim Kardashian is still the star of a reality show about her family. Like this is probably an episode of the show, and
of
the show, and the show comes back soon, I think.
Right, it's like Shania Twain didn't perform, you're still the one for this couple, not in front of the Hulu cameras for keeping up with the Kardashians. Yeah, totally.
What is Shania doing? Shania's promoting a tour right now that she had like a 2-week break from for this. You know,
right,
like all of this.
Right.
It's just like if you want attention and you know that marriage really doesn't mean anything, no offense to my own marriage, but it's just like it's very easy to get married and it's very easy.
Oh my God, no offense to my own marriage. Wow, okay.
I'm saying it's easy. And you look at all the timing.
I don't think anyone is shocked or offended that you're saying that marriage is kind of not a stronghold of our culture as it once was. Yeah, it's very easy to get a marriage. Actually, Kim Kardashian. Look at Kim Kardashian. It's very easy to get out of marriages.
And then the Shania Twain of it all has made me so mad since I saw she was there, and I was like, okay, she had a break. She's doing this for herself. She's like, this is good for Shania Twain. She's smart enough to know that appearing here is good for her. This is good press for her.
Well, she's known as Vegas girly, so that's also why. She's touring her Vegas show, I think. Or she's touring the version of her Vegas show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
She has a new album, so she's touring
that. She has
a new
album,
yeah.
Queen of Me. But You're Still the One is the song that she sang there, which almost feels so... It feels like it's so wrong that it has to be a joke. Like... I think Lucas Gage is insufferable, but I also think that he knows exactly what he's doing. And like, he's clearly good at this, at like maintaining control and dominance over the attention economy. Point is, Shania Twain saying You're Still the One at their wedding. You're Still the One is lyrically, explicitly, objectively about people who've been together for a long, long
time. Bobby wrote
time.
This point in 45 font in the doc so that he didn't forget to say that "You're Still the One" is about couples that have been together a really long time.
For a long, 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 long time. It is true. So it's almost like a gap. It feels like a joke to me. They said, I bet they'll never make it, but just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong. So you think that
that's the wink wink of it all, where it's like, what's another Shania Twain song that you would suggest that they that she sing to them, though?
Like, "Don't Be Stupid." Honestly. Don't be stupid. If you have the opportunity for Shania Twain to sing at your wedding, you take it, right? You take it.
Right,
whatever you sing. Right. Whose bed have your boots been under? Fine.
But
I'm going to get
I'm
you good.
But if I'm doing a like a, what do you call it? Rushing to the altar. What is that called?
Eloping.
If I'm eloping, "You're Still the One" does not make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
To be sung to me. If anything, it's kind of a gag, right?
It's a
your
gag.
Friends would know it's a gag.
It's a gag. That's what that's one of the things that set alarm bells off. Like, it's irritating at first. You're like, why the fuck did you sing this song that is about the opposite of what your relationship is about? And then it's like, well, maybe it's pretty on the nose. It's a gag. They're not, they've been together for a few months. Look, the first, looks like we made it. What?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm thinking, would any of her songs actually work? I'm trying to replace it with a better song. I mean,
the song that you'd never heard of until we went and saw her live, and you were like, "What's this song?" And you were completely gagged by it. "Love Gets Me Every Time."
Oh, I love that song.
If you want to touch her ass, that could just be a song about, like, doing Kim's hair. If you want to touch her, really want to touch her, if you want to touch her ass. I think that there are plenty of songs that Shania could have sung that would have been more appropriate.
Yes.
And the fact that they sang the most obviously inappropriate one is sus.
Yeah, what about Ka-Ching? All we ever want is more. I love more. So take me to the nearest store. Can you hear it ring? It makes you wanna sing. It's such a beautiful thing. Ka-ching. Yeah, lots of diamond rings. The happiness it brings. You live like a king. With lots of money and things.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. Timmy, BLT. I'm calling because People Magazine did like a pregnancy picture exclusive with Miss Nikki Baby and one of the Ball brothers. Arguably, at least one of the Ball brothers is a them, but their behavior feels very hooey, and I think this is an opportunity to talk about them and their hooey girlfriends. Crunch, crunch. Me and Grease. Lindsay Podcaster.
There are three Ball brothers, and they all play ball.
We haven't talked about them in
a
while.
We haven't, but they're but
and
I
they
just
have a
go
dad
over.
Who's like...
There are three Ball brothers, they all play ball, and they have a dad who's also involved in their ball playing, right? And
yes.
We talked about
yeah.
one of them. We also kind of talked about two of them, but we didn't...
We've talked about all of them.
But we didn't talk about this one.
Also, their dad's kind of more famous. We haven't talked about LiAngelo at length ever before. LaMelo and Lonzo, for
we
sure.
Talked
and the
about
dad, who's hilarious.
Lonzo. We talked about LaMelo, but I didn't even know there was a LiAngelo. There's a third Ball brother. And he also plays ball. He's on the NBA G
he
League.
He also plays ball.
Don't know what that means.
He's not in the NBA, which is a thing which I didn't even know about until this research. He's the middle
His
ball brother.
His brothers are both NBA guards.
The Greensboro Swarm.
I don't need
the
you to tell me, but
Swarm.
I'm just... He's 24, and he... is engaged. Nope, he's pregnant.
No, dating.
He's dating
Miss Nikki Ball with. He's dating Miss Nikki Baby, and now she's pregnant, and they got a People exclusive, and they did the Demi Moore classic.
I do love this because she's wearing like nude panties, so it looks like mm-hmm. you're getting vagina, but you're not, and it's just. Mm-hmm,
but you're not.
So I like that illusion. It's a nude illusion, and I also like the classic mm-hmm. arms over tits to cover nipples, and his arms are like
cover nipples,
gorgeously tattooed. So it's just like a nice shot. It's also very much like airbrushed to hell. And his head, because he's got dark hair and he has like a really sharp fade, it looks like he got a little lobotomy and his head is just open because the background is black. So do you notice it's like his hair like goes into the background? Like didn't even think about this. They didn't want to fix this at all. So it looks like he has like, do, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
looks like Hannibal's there. It looks like Hannibal Lecter's there. Yeah, look. He took a mush mush. Hannibal took a mush mush. Looks
funny. She looks amazing.
They spent the airbrushing budget on her and they were like, we don't have the budget to do the top of his hair to make it sort of like distinct against the background.
I just think people did him a little dirty by doing that. Anyways, they're both excited about being parents. We can't wait to meet our baby and begin this new chapter together. It's super exciting for us being first time parents and getting to experience everything together.
And in this relationship, she is 8 years older. I know you love that. I know you love when the woman in a straight relationship is older. She's 32, he's 24.
But he is.
She got
really
famous because of Love and Hip Hop Hollywood.
Young. Yeah, she's on Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. Yeah. Who, do you know why she's on Love and Hip Hop Hollywood? Is that like, is there a reason? Did she date?
She was on Love and Hip Hop Hollywood.
It's just another day of being fabulous. You know how it is. They asked Miss Nikki Baby to be the face of this beauty bar party. And since I'm always looking for ways to get my face and brand out there, you know I'm going to work it.
This is really nice. I mean,
everything I do is nice.
Looks like you have some company, honey.
Yeah. Nikki invited me to her event to cover for Hollywood Unlocked. But really,
She dated so many people. I mean, like, this is just one of those reality shows where, like, everyone dates kind of everyone. She dated Safari for a moment, which is, like, her biggest.
Yeah.
Yeah. She dated Safari for a moment, and she had, like, a thing with Quavo, and she had a thing with, which is hilarious, Jocelyn. Remember Jocelyn?
Oh, she's bisexual?
So then they had sort of a little fling. I think so. I think she's bisexual.
Wow.
I think she's bisexual because she had a fling.
With Jocelyn.
With Jocelyn. The most interesting thing about Nikki Medeiros, though, she goes by
Miss Nikki Baby, obviously.
Miss Nikki Baby, is that her family is famous because her parents own, well, family own two really famous strip clubs. It's a chain. The fucking Body Shop. Her family owns
the
Body
but
Shop.
You wrote this in the doc like you thought she owned the Body Shop, like the store in the malls.
No, I mean the Body Shop.
When you say the Body Shop, no one thinks of two strip clubs. People think of a place where you buy smelly lotion in the mall.
No, what I mean is it's the titular, it's the, not the titular, it's the Body Shop in Unholy.
Oh.
Daddy's getting hot at the Body Shop.
He's not getting hot at the mall putting on lotions that are smelly.
No.
Yeah. You could smell the Body Shop. From down the street is what I'm saying. You could smell that smelly lotion.
Oh.
Disgusting.
You enter the city and you're like, the city's got a body shop.
Okay, so you're saying she owns the Body Shop, which is a famous,
she's from a very
all
successful
nude
wealthy family.
Gentleman's
yes.
club.
There's some in Las Vegas. There's some in Los Angeles. There's one called the Seventh Veil. There's the Body Shop. And her father, when you look, like everything about her family refers to her father as the godfather of burlesque. That dancing, that like sort of vibe is like part of her family. And that's kind of why she's famous and sort of why she has the connections that she has because of her father. The other Ball brothers also date famous people though too. So LiAngelo dates Nikki, okay? But I was like, okay, what's up with the LaMelo? What's up with Lonzo? Are they still dating people? Yes, they're both dating Instagram models, which is perfect. LaMelo is dating a model named Anna Montana, which is hilarious.
Stop.
I'd never heard of her before.
Anna Montana.
Her real name is Analicia Chavez. Yeah, her real name is Analicia Chavez, but she goes by Anna Montana on everything.
Oh my God.
And then his brother Lonzo is dating Ali Russell,
okay,
who is also known for being like an Instagram model. Here's the last thing I want to say about Nikki Baby. When I went to her Instagram, yeah, she's showing off her pregnancy, which is great. But she's a previous reality star, right? She's not on Love and Hip Hop Hollywood anymore. She isn't. But she's doing plenty with her own business, and she's doing a lot of Instagram like ads, like she does a lot for Fashion Nova. But another part of her bio is that she got her real estate license, and I think she works for Keller Williams. So she's pivoted to real estate, which we all know can't be quite lucrative. I'm saying she's waiting for Selling Sunset to come calling.
Selling Sunset is imminent.
It's giving Selling Sunset. She's a perfect Selling Sunset cast member.
You're right.
Because you want people who know how reality works.
Well, it's so interesting to jump from another reality show to Selling Sunset, because in a way what you're doing is staying on reality TV, which is lucrative, but even more lucrative being a real estate agent on reality TV, meaning you might actually learn something and make a lot more money than just the salary from, you know.
We're going to tell you about a new show called Jocular, hosted by ER Fightmaster, whom we've talked about on the podcast before, Tien Tran and Katie Kershaw. They're comedians, they're writers, and they're also best friends who are obsessed with women's sports. Kind of like I'm becoming obsessed with women's sports.
You are.
They're exploring all things queer, trans, and women-focused in the world of sports, and in each episode, they'll cover the latest games, debate pressing issues, and review how they're all really horny for basically everyone in the game. This is every time I talk to someone who's a fan of women's sports, like a genuine fan of women's sports, not like a newbie like me, they're like, horny. I'm horny for all of them.
I know. They're always crushing on people in the game. But that's why it's like we need a podcast that's not us to kind of tell us what we're supposed to care about, who we're supposed to care about, who's hot and who's sexy and who we're paying attention to.
Yes, and that's what Jocular is for. Friends and experts will join to share their takes on sports ranging from women's basketball to soccer to power slapping. I don't even know what power slapping is, but I'm in. So tune in every Friday for new episodes of Jocular on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts now. I love my Helix mattress. I love my Helix pillow. What else is there to say about Helix? I freaking love it. When I sleep on other beds,
I get mad.
What is there
else to say is that I come back to my bed and I'm like, this is the bed. This is the bed. And it's honestly spoiled me for other beds. And I don't like traveling sometimes because I'm like, this is not my bed. Where's my bed?
I want my bed.
It's my special bed. It's my special mattress because it is a mattress that is made for my body.
Mm-hmm. I took the Helix quiz. It told me which Helix mattress to get, and that's the one I got, and that's the one that I love, and that's the one that I will not stop using because it's the best mattress I've ever slept on. The mattress is so good that when we got it, my cat Winston became obsessed with it, and now he's on it all the time, and I'm you have to move because need to sleep on the bed. It's my bed. It's not your bed.
Wow.
He's obsessed with it. It's irritating, actually. Wow. He likes the Helix so much.
So rude.
Everybody is unique, and I mean everybody, two words, because everyone sleeps differently, their bodies are different, and that's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. I'm a side sleeper / stomach sleeper. Some people are back sleepers. Some people are exclusively side sleepers. There's a Helix mattress for all of you. Not only is the Helix the best mattress I've ever slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Their mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door. You just open it up and it like kind of like blows back up after it comes out of the plastic, and you put it on your bed and it's amazing. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty depending on the model. And if you don't want to take our word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/who. That's helixsleep.com/who. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Vet bills can be expensive, but Spot Pet Insurance can give you up to 90% cash back on vet bills, so you can worry less about high vet bills. Yep, up to 90% cash back on vet bills for unexpected accidents, illness, and even routine care. And with Spot Pet Insurance plans, you can go to any vet you want in the U.S. or Canada. There's no network you need to stick to, so visit your favorite vet, and you can save money on expensive vet bills. That's Spot Pet Insurance. It's no wonder Spot is America's favorite pet insurance. Visit spotpet.com for a free quote today. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Spot Pet Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produce Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. This is an independent ad from Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
Hi. At the risk of asking about a them, Don Lemon posted a notice of his termination in this dark, bluish, periwinkle-ish font in, I don't know, some sans serif font. I just want to know, like, what kind of like typing, font, aesthetic is this? I don't know. I would like to hear your analysis. It isn't exactly an apology. It's not an apology, but would still like to hear your analysis. Okay. Showing hole. just kidding. Me and Bruce. Bye.
What's our analysis of this released text? I don't necessarily care about Don Lemon's termination.
Who is a them?
He is a them. The hubbub about this confirms as much. Being fired on the same day as Tucker Carlson is like one of the funnier media things to happen in the past, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're not having many funny days in media, mm-hmm. but this was pretty funny. And it became immediately Who Weekly fodder when he took a screenshot of what looks like an email forward. It's giving like forward this to 12 people to like bring yourself luck or whatever. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. giving like my mom forwarded mm-hmm. me an email that's like, don't use this one brand of cleaner because the FAA said that it is bad or what. You remember email for we don't really
the FAA.
That's the plain one, right?
The plain one.
We don't get email forward culture has really, you know, died off. But you used to get a lot of email forwards yeah. from like aunts that were just like a long joke. You know, like a
well,
joke.
Facebook ruined that. Yeah.
They used to be like Facebook killed you get email a lot forward. Of jokes on through email.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what happened
but this
here?
Is,
what happened here?
He posted a tweet with a statement after his firing was announced. So it's announced that Don Lemon is fired. He instantly posts a tweet that is just a screenshot on his phone. You can tell by the margins. You can tell by how it's sort of like, it's tight. It's like too tight. If you'd been viewing this on desktop, it would have looked like it was like four lines
it's
long. But because it's a big font
tight.
On a small screen, it's tight. It's so tight. Tight margins.
But like, why?
It's a screenshot of a phone.
It's so crazy to...
It's a screenshot of an email that he clearly sent to someone, was forward, had approved by a publicist or something. Like, this is not a Notes app. It's not Pages. It's not Text Edit. It is an email forward. It's giving, why are you punishing me, sent from my Sony Xperia
it's
Z2.
It's giving, why you know? Are you punishing me, sent from my Sony Xperia Z2.
Z2.
Amy mm-hmm. Pascal famously wrote on 11/19/2014.
I've just never seen someone use a...
Me neither. It's just crazy to me that it is still preferable to do this versus just write the thing. There's something a little bit more to like a newsman or a newswoman or a newsperson that is a little bit more like official coming from somewhere as released by a website versus just tweeting it, you know, tweeting this,
mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't really get what in our brain makes this better because this is, it's not the right shape. It's not the right color. It gives away everything. Do you think this is,
it's unnerving.
Was this forwarded by him? Did he write this, then forward it? Did he write this, then send it to other people? Is that what, is this the statement that he sent out via email or is this like a a publicity person sending him this? How has he forwarded his own statement? It's kind of weird.
It's clearly been written or it's underneath the
it's
thread.
It's underneath
like in the email
thread. Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. He sent
so
it to somebody
he
else.
He wrote it. He got it approved. He sent it to, either sent it to someone to get it approved or get a go-ahead, or he had sent it to his his close contacts. Maybe he sent it to CNN coworkers. You know, whatever's happening here, it had been sent to other people before he posted it. And he was like, this is good enough for me. And I also think that that's like, he's a journalist. He's like in a way, like old school TV journalist who's just on his email all the time. It's not like.
It's true. It does.
He feels separate from being on Twitter and all the time. It's like, I'm on my email all the
time.
That
he is very much like, I'm above the fray of Twitter, though I want to announce this and tell people my side. And I know that people are mostly on Twitter. To me, it's just way it's not as a journalist. I'm only going off like my mm-hmm. sources or whatever, even though his source is him,
yeah.
which is funny, you know.
Yeah. His source is
him. His source is him.
I was informed this morning by my agent that I have been terminated by CNN. I am stunned. After 17 years at CNN, I would have thought that someone in management would have had the decency to tell me directly. At no time was I ever given any indication that I would not be able to continue to do the work that I have loved at the network. It is clear that there are some larger issues at play. With that said, I want to thank my colleagues and the many teams I have worked on for an incredible run. They are the most talented journalists in the business, and I wish them all the
this
best.
This gives kind of shadier than I would expect a PR person to approve, though.
He sent it to someone first, and that's why it is purple. That's all this
uh-huh.
is. But I've never seen it before, and I really don't want to see it again because I don't like seeing email on Twitter. I don't like people cross it. Like
I don't come
platforms.
To my Twitter to see email, you know?
Hey, BLT, I'm just calling in to beg you to not talk about Meghan Trainor going on her podcast saying that her Spy Kid husband's dick is so big that she can't have sex with him. Whatever you do, please do not talk about that. Thank you. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
Cut it. Cut it. Cut it.
Cut it.
Cut it.
Meghan,
cut it. No, Meghan, well, I do have to say people were like, LMAO, same thing. I'm like, no, different thing. This is like what you do talk about on your podcast. This is like...
That's what I was going to say.
Like,
this is actually
this is
okay.
Like, fine. Do I want to hear it? No. Am I listening to the podcast? Absolutely not. So I'm not going to hear it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm seeing it against my will because it's being excerpted, and that's not their fault. But these are the kind of things that you do talk about on your podcast when you have it. And
I
that,
hate
right.
this.
Yes.
But sure.
Yes. Yes.
This is good press
yes.
for Meghan
yes.
Trainor, you know? This is good
exactly.
press. This isn't like fuck teachers.
Exactly.
Let's hear exactly what she said. And again, don't forget that her husband is former Spy Kid Daryl Sabara.
I could do it like any time it
Wait.
Can. Yeah, I love
Wait,
it.
How you can take this out if you want. Yeah. I'm jealous of your sex life and I don't even know what it is. I bet it's amazing.
Yeah. Well,
how
yeah.
many times do you do it a week?
Oh my God. Okay. So before, okay. So that was another part of postpartum that was so hard. So before we were like, we met during quarantine. So we were having sex, obviously like 5 times a day. I was like a sex addict.
I remember you.
Five
you
times
said,
a day.
Like, I love
yeah.
when he, like,
God bless Moses.
Over yeah. in the couch and, like,
oh yeah.
Violent.
Oh my God. It was great. And then when I got pregnant, I was so scared he was going to like hurt the baby. So we couldn't have like violent sex. It was very
yeah.
weird and to the side.
I couldn't have sex at all in the first pregnancy.
Really?
Was
what
like,
was it?
My husband's a big boy.
Oh, okay.
And I was like,
she has like pussy
my
anxiety
broken, though.
She freaks
anxiety.
Out.
Yours is little and his is big. Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Oh.
But
okay.
also,
damn.
Like, no, to the point where I'm
that's
like,
amazing.
Is it all in? And he's like, just a tip. And I'm like, I can't do anymore. Oh. You know.
That's her brother. Also, just pointing that out. Talking.
I was gonna say she's saying all this next to her brother. Her co-host on Working On It. Her brother said she has pussy anxiety. I want you to know that that was her brother
Things
who said that.
Things are so deeply wrong in this scenario that are beyond just Meghan Trainor talking about her husband's dick. Like, that's fine.
This is what happens when you are born on Nantucket.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. This is what happens when you have Trisha Paytas on your podcast. Like, do I have to repeat myself? Why are you making me repeat myself?
Dressed as you.
You invite the chaos into your house. This is like the beginning of every horror movie. You opened the chest. You invited the spirit in. It's called Pandora's Box.
You went into the Airbnb.
You went down into the basement and opened the door. You know what I mean? You could have left.
The barbarian was there.
You could have said, I'm not staying in Airbnb anymore.
You knew the barbarian was
anymore.
There and you went there anyway.
I'm not going to talk about Meghan Trainor's podcast every time she says something like this because this is what her podcast is ostensibly for and this is like what's mm-hmm. working. You know, is it working? I don't know. Is this, whatever, define working. But I'm just saying fuck teachers is a lot more damaging. She's not than this. This is just kind of normal chatter.
Yeah.
People are still talking about their two toilets that are next to each other, you know?
No, they still have them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could get like 20,000 for like a TikTok on that. Not me. I don't get sponsorships. So I'm saying I know TikTokers. I get zero on, which is fine. I have squirting videos.
But that
that's where I make
stop
my money.
You, baby.
No, but yeah. I would love
to.
We
need greater people to call you.
I know. Or, they dropped me. I don't know.
They dropped me? There's more vibrators out there.
Vibrators.
Don't you know how much money you make off of that?
I would love to.
Who the fuck is Matt Kaplan? And why is he proposing to Alex Cooper of Call Her Daddy? Crunch, crunch.
Call Her Daddy podcaster Alexander Cooper engaged to Matt Kaplan. Who the fuck is Matt Kaplan? Matt
who
Kaplan
the fuck is Alex
is,
Cooper? Like, why are we even... It's funny to be like, who the fuck is Matt Kaplan? Guess what? He's a random guy
gang.
She met because she's a random person.
Joining us is someone that I just cannot wait to have a conversation. At just 27, she not only hosts the 5th most streamed podcast in the whole world... But she also made headlines with her reported $60 million Spotify deal, the biggest exclusive deal ever for a woman-led podcast. Here to break those glass ceilings is the woman behind Call Her Daddy, Alex Cooper!
She is the co-host, former co-host, current main host, only host of Call Her Daddy. He is a producer who used to date and be married to none other than Claire Holt. And he was high school sweethearts with Ashley Olsen.
Stop. He wasn't.
They dated for years.
Yeah, this guy.
Look at the photos that I added to the
list.
Oh,
my God. He really gives. He really Ashley gives. Olsen. We went to high school together. I knew a guy in high school named Matt Kaplan. Mm-hmm. It's like he's not him, but it just he looks like we went to my high school. They all went to Crossroads. Mm-hmm. Crossroads, fancy New York City school.
Crossroads school with a lot of
or
actors.
LA
went to
school.
Crossroads school.
LA school. Yeah.
Spencer Pratt also went there. Whitney Port went there.
But he was married before. Now he's engaged to Alex Cooper. But he was married to Claire Holt, and Claire Holt is iconically one of the stars of H2O. Just Add Water, aka. Nar, Clear, that clip.
Clear,
Mr. Noir.
She's Emma. She's Emma.
Emma Noir.
She's Emma in the clip.
Clear, the bathroom's free. Oh no, the condensation. Emma! Oh no, Clear! Emma!
I've never seen H2O Just Add Water, but I've seen that clip a million times.
The condensation. Condensation. How do you say condensation? Nor, not the condensation.
Nor.
So he was married to Emma from H2O Just Add Water, aka Claire Holt, who then was also like on Pretty Little Liars and Vampire Diaries and the originals and did have like a pretty big career. Now he's engaged to Call Her Daddy, whatever. Okay. And they met on Zoom.
They bought a house.
They met on Zoom. She got engaged in her own merch. That's interesting, mm-hmm. I guess.
I think that is maybe one of the most notable things about this engagement, which honestly, I don't really care about.
No, I don't really either.
Yeah. She got engaged in her own merch, in her podcast.
It is funny, though, to me, though, that part of this like W Magazine exclusive about her engagement was like, I was wearing sweatpants. It's like you were wearing your sweatpants that people can buy on your website. That's not the same as I was wearing sweatpants. Your nails were done. Sorry. Your hair was done. Your makeup
was
on. You're wearing a full sweatsuit. That doesn't mean you were, quote, wearing sweatpants. You're wearing merchandise. So I find that a little bit. I'm sorry.
You're wearing your job.
I find that not as real
as
this girl
claims
to
be.
I continue to be surprised that this podcast is as popular and notable as it is, considering it has kind of shifted its tone significantly in terms of like, she actually is a better interviewer than she has any right to be, considering that's not how this podcast started. So I am impressed that she is able to book big people, which she does, and give pretty good interviews. Considering that's not what the podcast was. It was two friends talking about sex. And now that she's engaged, it's like, and the other one is gone. That's it's a totally different podcast that she's pulling off now.
I mean, the secret sauce is that now famous people who now want to talk to her and now want to get attention to her were already fans of hers.
Right.
So it's now like, oh, I love Alex Cooper. And now she's more of an interview podcast. This is great.
But also they're more willing to talk to her because she is cool.
Yeah,
and they
because
know
they're
that
obsessed
it's like
with her.
Cred to talk to her. Yeah, totally. That too. I mean, it's all a snake eating its own tail.
Let's move on. Let's do some rapid fire calls.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby, Timmy. I just started reading the Cuts It Girl coverage, which is really fun. And I'm just sort of like scrolling through the list of the however many New York It Girls that they put together. And it's really interesting thinking about them in like who them terms, because there are definitely some them It Girls. Like I feel like Alexa Chung is probably a them It Girl, but they're few and far between. Like most of them are solid who's. So my question is, I feel like we know with like actors or singers or whatever, like what it takes generally for you to go from a who to a them. But what does it take for an it girl to go from a who to a them? I honestly don't know. And I thought you guys might have some interesting things to say about that. So that's all. Crunch, crunch.
So I ate this feature up. Yum, yum. Crunch, crunch. It's really good. It's the cover of New York Magazine this week, and it's an entire kind of history of the It Girl, as well as like
it's
little pull-out features of specific It Girls. I do think that they should have done more of Julia Fox thing, because to me that is like now, but she kind of, she got a mention, but she didn't really get a pull out. I think it was more of a nostalgic feature though. Package.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I also was listening to the podcast Every Outfit, shout out, and they were interviewing it girl Candace Bushnell. Almost said Bergen. Candace Bushnell, the writer of Sex and the City and a very much a New York it girl celebrity, just like Carrie is in Sex and the City. It's based off her, yep. And she at one point was. And what's funny is they were talking about her getting recognized or being famous, or how famous really are you? I think that it's a very interesting conversation. And she was like, you know, in New York, I'm famous. Outside of New York, I'm not famous. Compared to Luann, she's talking about Countess Luann from Real Housewives, I am not famous. When I go out with Luann, she is getting stopped left and right. I am not. And she goes, really, what makes you famous? Because they were like, oh, have you ever considered being on Housewives? And she's like, no, I was on TV, da da da. I'm too real for TV, blah, blah. Because she was on Housewives, but only as like a friend of. She was never like,
as a friend.
You'd think she'd be like an amazing, that show would be lucky to have her on that show because she's fabulous. And she kind of said, you know what really makes you famous? Being on TV, which is something we always say. I feel like we've said this before too. She's like, being on TV makes you famous. Otherwise, you are famous within your geographical space, which is like famous in New York.
Otherwise, you're an Instagram influencer.
Exactly.
Yes.
Famous online. But that doesn't always translate to in real life. When it does, it is more of an interesting viral celebrity type fame. But it has that one of effects where maybe you have a meet and greet and nobody comes, where even though you've millions of followers. So like, I think that there can be a misconnect there. But I just thought that was a really interesting conversation with like a it girl, current it girl, former it girl, talking about the idea of being a who or them it girl, because it's one of those things where I think it has more influence on the culture than on the person's actual celebrity.
And I think by definition, it girls tend to be who's, because there's a sort of, there's a mystery there. That's part of the it girl's appeal. It's sort of like, where did you come from? Where are you going? What do you do? Like, there are so many questions when it comes to this type of person.
There has to be a mystery. And there is a little bit of a kind of, like, I always think of like Corey Kennedy, who was briefly mentioned. Was written about by Brock Coyler in the newsletter that went with this. And Corey Kennedy's thing was like, she always was like, she's a very misshapes it girl when I was in college. She was always a mystery and still kind of is. Where did she go? Where did she come from?
And in the central piece, one of the main it girls that they talk about is Chloe Sevigny. And I think that like Chloe Sevigny is sort of a perma-who, you know, despite being very, very famous. And I think I'll accept an argument for Chloe Sevigny being a them. But I think that like the whole vibe of Chloe Sevigny is that she's kind of a who.
You think so?
She's kind of, she's alt. That's always been Chloe Sevigny's appeal.
And her kind of maintaining that altness is beauty of her almost. You're right. Even when it's like, if you know, and you're surprised that no, everyone doesn't, but not everyone does.
I just feel like the moment you're a them, you kind of can't be
but
an
also
it
there's
anymore.
Kind of no more it girls. Like, that was the thing with this package that kind of got me a little sad, but also just like true. Like, do it girls even exist anymore? I mean, if you're talking about, if Julia Fox is a current it girl, if M. Rod is a current it girl, those are celebrities. They're celebrity. Like, they're being, they're bigger than New York. It's not just being covered in Page Six, right? They happen to live in New York, and we're calling them it girls because of their New York adjacency and their effect on fashion and culture.
That's just, that's globalization, right? That's like nothing is regional anymore.
Nothing is regional anymore. Even Page Six isn't regional anymore.
That's a larger factor to there being no it girls anymore. It's that like nothing is niche anymore. Nothing is niche. Everything goes viral. Everything goes national. Everything goes international.
Exactly.
You know, like, that's it. The moment there's like a niche food that people love and, you know,
you're right.
San Jose, there's a cart selling it in New York City and Tokyo and fucking Marrakesh. You know, like, it's all over
the place. Right.
But you mentioned Brock earlier with their newsletter for New York Magazine. And I think that, like, how do you become an it girl? One of the ways, Brock's got to notice you. That newsletter, I love that newsletter, but it also makes me feel crazy because it's like everything that Brock goes to, like those parties, I'm just like, what? Like, I cannot stop reading that newsletter. I read it every time it comes in, but it's like, that's the type of thing that you get discovered.
Yes, but that's
by.
Also why when I'm saying like, oh, I'm sad there's no it girls, then I read that newsletter, I'm like, oh, the culture is still alive. Like, I'm not a part of it, but like, I still am inspired and I'm seeing all these people I don't know and these parties that are so cool and da da da. And I'm like, fantastic, fantastic. So fantastic. Maybe the problem is that New York Magazine is taking more of a broader view because they're doing the history of it versus they're also covering the nicher celebutantes and it girls, but they are more under, it wouldn't be interesting to read about them in, on the cover of New York Magazine. It's more interesting to read about them in a newsletter that's about like nightlife, you know?
We move on, right?
We just need to recognize that Chloe Sevigny is a national treasure. That's all.
She is.
She literally
she
is.
She really is. What did she show up in that I was screaming? Oh, Bones and All.
Oh, she was amazing in that.
Chloe Sevigny and Bones and All? Amazing
like,
movie number one.
Like,
but
this woman
oh
has no
God.
Arms or legs or whatever. And Chloe's like, I'm taking it. I'm taking it.
The whole
it.
Time you're like, I think Chloe Sevigny is about to show up in this movie. When's she going to show up in the movie? And she shows up. She doesn't have arms.
She shows up and she shows out.
She doesn't need arms. You don't need arms to be an it girl.
No, she's slaying in that role. She proved she could still slay when she had like the wedding that everybody was talking. Like she had like a Connecticut wedding that was like full of fashion and like chicness. Like
that was like
Connecticut's
the coolest
never
thing possible.
Seen anything cool in there in its goddamn existence until Chloe Sevigny showed up and like had a wedding. You know?
Yeah. And you know, the other thing about the it girl, Candace Bushnell. You said everyone's saying like, oh, Luann. When I'm out with Luann, everyone's yeah, screaming at Luann. Yeah. Chloe. There's an allure to Chloe. You get nervous around Chloe. That's the it girl vibe. I feel like she's not being hounded. Yeah. I feel like people are looking. Yeah. People might be staring.
All I have to say is.
Oh no, I know what you're gonna say.
Great patio set. All right, moving on.
Hi, Steven.
Great patio set.
Next call.
Hi, BLT. I had to pause the Sunday pod when you were talking about the paparazzi photos of Ali Wong and Bill Hader, not to call in about them, because they're both them. But because they're wearing matching Hokas in those photos, and Hoka is using those paparazzi photos of them for PR. I work in product journalism, and this morning I woke up to a PR email from a Hoka rep, and it literally had a Dropbox link of these paparazzi photos of Bill Hader and Ali Wong in their matching Hokas. The email also contained Dropbox links to Shawn Mendes wearing Hokas and Martin Scorsese wearing Hokas. So I'm calling about Hokas to see if they're a who or a them of sneakers. I feel like they're everywhere now. My parents wear them. Harry Styles was seen wearing them. But like this PR behavior, trying to link up with celebrities, feels like very hooey behavior. Crunch, crunch, promising young, woman, woman.
Talk about an it girl. Hokas are that girl. You know, like Hokas are them.
Genius.
I'm sorry. They're thems.
Genius.
Hokas are thems, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess of as much as any shoe could be a them. I mean, as much as like.
They're like here. They're here.
They
Hokas.
Are the kind of. We've reached peak big sneaker. And I think they're the kind of where we've settled.
The thing about Hokas is that they have like the really thick. They have the really thick sole.
Yeah.
They're really thick. They're really cushioned.
They're really thick.
It's fashion. It's cyclical. They're thems. They're currently thems. By the time I get a pair of Hokas, people are going to say like, oh, there's
breaking
something
news. Facebook shut down Facebook Watch Originals, a.k.a. Red Table Talk was canceled. End of an era.
What the fuck?
End of an era. Somebody needs to pick up Red Table Talk. I'm talking to you, Pluto TV or whatever.
That's a freebie or something. Wait, that's crazy.
Hi. For whatever reason, I'm on... Abby Lee Miller's Instagram, and her most recent grid post is a selfie that she took with Judy Blume. And I guess my question is, does Judy Blume know who Abby Lee Miller is? Okay, thanks. Crunch, crunch.
But does Judy Blume know who Abby Lee Miller is?
No.
When that selfie was being taken, did Judy Blume say, oh, right, dance
no.
bumps? Or did she go, I don't know who this woman is. There's just a lady.
I don't think Judy Blume knows who Abby Lee Miller is.
The answer is no. Absolutely
also,
not.
Judy Blume owns a bookstore. She's meeting lots of people every day. Abby Lee Miller is not phasing her.
Last call.
What do you think?
I think absolutely not. Absolutely okay. not. Absolutely okay. not. No question.
Hi, BLT. This is Greg from Pico. Me and my girlfriend are having a, me and my fiance are having a drunken debate right now. We need to see from who to they the pieces on the board game Battleship. From list them for us, please, from who to they. That'd be wonderful. All right. Thank you so much, Crunch Crunch. Who to them? I'm sorry. I'm fucked up. Okay, bye. They're not
going to do it. It ends with him saying, they're not going to do it. Listen, bitch.
Listen.
We're going to do
bitch.
It.
Bitch. I'm going to sink your
battleship aircraft carrier.
Or whatever. What is this? I played this game like.
Battleship, aircraft carrier, submarine, destroyer, small
but
ship.
But isn't it more important how many pegs each have? Like. I know small ship is 2 peg. Submarine, 3 peg?
That's not what we're doing here, and I can't look that up.
I'm just saying, like, I'm thinking about the game and, like, what are the easiest things to play? What are the most valuable pieces? But the battleship is the themmiest because, like, what the fuck are any of these other things, right?
I think it goes battleship, aircraft carrier, destroyer, then submarine, then small ship.
I don't really have any arguments here, nor do I have any strategies in this because I can't see
although,
the pegs.
You know what it goes? Okay. It has to be the order that this is because battleship is the most obvious because it's the most iconic silhouette. Aircraft carrier is next because it has the flat edge, so it's the most notable. Like, it's very different from the other ones visually. You know, so you look at that and you go, that's an aircraft character. Like, I don't need to know much about planes or boats to know that that is an aircraft character. Yeah. Next up, instead of destroyer, which is my favorite, the submarine, because it, again, visually, it's more unique. So you're like, that is a submarine. Like, I could be a layperson. Like, I don't have to have been on Crimson Tide, whatever the ship is in Crimson Tide, to know that that's a submarine. You know, like, I don't have to be on U571 to know that's a submarine.
Photos of these ships, like, that are drawn, I don't know what those are. I know the pieces from the game that have the holes in them. So I'm like, I'm talking 2-hole, 3-hole, 3-hole, 4-hole, 5-hole. It's like, that's what I know these boats as, right? So what are the...
aircraft carrier is 5-hole. Yes. Battleship is 4-hole.
Then we have two...
Destroyer's 3-hole.
So is... submarine.
Submarine,
and then
3
small
hole.
Ship is 2 hole.
And then small ship, 2 hole.
Okay. I feel like the more with the ones with the more holes are the themier, and then the ones with the less holes are whoier. And once again, we're talking about holes. Sorry.
So battleship and aircraft carrier are the themiest. Then we go submarine.
Yeah.
Destroyer. Then we go small ship.
Yeah.
I didn't know small ship had a name, and apparently it's just small ship. Did Rihanna have a song in Battleship, or was that just the Star Trek song?
Oh, wait, I thought she did.
I think she just acted in it.
That's crazy to let her act in your movie and not be like, give me a song.
Ready to play with the big boys?
I had to do some research for this film, definitely. I had to research weapons.
Shoot.
And I also trained with people in the military, people in the Navy. The training, the drilling just really ripped me apart and broke me down and really got me out of the mentality of being a celebrity or Rihanna and really helped to teach me what it took to be in the Navy.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Who's There, our weekly call-in show. Keep calling at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns for our Friday show. Thank you to Katie and Eric of the Who's for providing our weekly theme song on Tuesday. Thank you to Timmy, our research and editorial assistant, for researching and editorializing. Support us on patreon.com/WHOweekly for bonus episodes, a Discord server, a monthly newsletter, commentary tracks, and more. You can also get the audio only on the Apple Podcasts app. Just click subscribe. Also, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts while you're there because we love your ratings and reviewings so much. And we'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend.
Tell us what you think the themiest battleship piece is and give us 5 stars.
Oh, if you listen on Spotify, that will be in the poll for today's episode, which battleship piece is the themiest.
Poll? There are polls on Spotify.
Yeah, we're going to start using Spotify's like poll feature.
Oh, that's
they have
so
polls
fun.
And Q&As.
I love that.
If you listen on Apple, leave a review. If you listen on Spotify,
vote in our poll.
Fill out our poll. Bye.
Bye.
You will trailer. Yeah,
yeah, Rio. Yeah, they want to know.
Hey.
Rio.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah. Rio.
Come on. Hey. I want to be famous.
I'm sure I'm not the only person calling about this, but you guys said that you wanted Lowe's spawn in here in Chicago. My ad before the podcast was Lowe's spawn. You spoke that into existence. Congratulations, Lindsay Podcaster.
Hi, Bobby Lindsay. This is for Bobby. I think this is actually Zenny, but it's fine. I just wanted to say that I watched Jake Gyllenhaal on Hot Ones, and I never really, you know, got it. With Jake Gyllenhaal, I was like, okay, whatever. This, like, white man is attractive, sure, but okay. And then I watched him on Hot Ones, and I was like, oh, my God, I get it. He's so fucking charming. Like, I was shocked. I get it. I'm fully Jake Gyllenhaal-pilled at this point. Wow. So charming, so charismatic. It, like, made me mad. How charming he was. So anyways, Jake Gyllenhaal, who, them, Hot Ones, who, and I get it. I'm on your side now, Bobby. I really get it. Okay. Crunch, crunch.
Oh my God. Lindsay, Bobby, to me, I'm taking my kid to daycare, and the guy behind me is drinking straight out of an International Delights bottle, and I cannot even understand the aspirational level of grunge there. Anyway, crunch, crunch. Thanks.